This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, Geekscapists. Welcome to our brand new Geekscape podcast. I'm Jonathan London, your host. And if this is your first Geekscape, well, strap yourselves in for some pop culture talk. This week, we are talking all about Marvel's What If Season 2. That's right. We have to do some deep dives to catch up with some content. If you guys search the feed, you'll see that we just talked about Aquaman 2, The Lost Kingdom, on an earlier episode this week. And so I doubled up so we can just kind of make some space because you know there's more content constantly coming in the geek sphere. This is Geekscape. If this is your first Geekscape, I like to sit down with somebody and talk some pop culture. Sometimes it's a specific subject. Like this week, we're talking Marvel's What If Season 2 over on Disney Plus. Sometimes I like to sit down and interview somebody. Next week, I think I've got my friend Mickey Rapkin, who created Pitch Perfect and is, let's look around, he's shortlisted for an Oscar this year. I think there's 15 films left in the category, and he might be one of the films left standing. And Mickey is going to join me next week to talk about the film. He's going to talk about Pitch Perfect. I want him to talk about Pitch Perfect. He created Pitch Perfect. It's kind of cool. He's friends with Elizabeth Banks. It's kind of cool. And he's my guest next week. So that if you guys are filmmakers, if you like directing and you like learning about writing and all that stuff, he's fantastic at both. All right. And he's going to be my guest next week. But I'm always lining up some guests because I just love talking to storytellers. I got some musicians in the wing. I've got some comic creators that want to come on. I want them on. I would talk to storytellers every freaking day if I could. All right. But there's just not enough time to consume all the content, talk about the content. And I did not know what I was creating when I started Geekscape 18 years ago, but now we cannot put the demon back in the bottle. All I can do is also remind you that the Geekscape podcast has become a Geekscape network. So maybe some of the stuff I can't cover on Geekscape because there's just so much awesomeness going on, maybe you'll find it on the other shows, the Geekscape network, whether it be horror films or TV binge watching or just chatting with your friends or talking about wrestling or 80s nostalgia. I know I'm talking about you guys, $2 late fee. And my brother even has a show about wrestling on the podcast network now. Territory Marks, like that's amazing. It's really a family affair. And I could not be prouder of this network and the work that Matt Kelly and everyone has put in to keep this thing rocking and expanding and growing. And also, we sometimes have like adjacent shows. I still think they're in the family. They're just not under the Geekscape umbrella. And my friend Garrett Brion is definitely one of those podcasters. He's got this new podcast called Not Just a Guy Pod. Go search for it, you know, subscribe to it. He's going to be on to talk all about What If Season 2 with me. He started out as my film student and he kind of like my ward, right? Like, let's see, if you're thinking like a Robin, right? Like under Batman, how would Garrett be? Is he Dick Grayson? Maybe. Tim Drake? Maybe. All right. Like maybe he's going to become the Red Hood one day. All right. Maybe he's Jason Todd. You never know. You never know. But is he Damian Wayne? He's definitely not Damian Wayne. All right. Like, but maybe. I think he's close to a Dick Grayson. All right. So start your fanfic pictures now. I've been hiring, I've been talking to comic book artists for a project, and it's amazing when I look at things like DeviantArt and different online art portfolios, and there's so many amazing artists. And I was telling an artist today, I wish I could work with all of them. I wish I had enough stories in my head in time to put them to the proper comic script, right? Because some of these are adapted from films, some of them are adapted from other projects. But comic full script has its own format, right? And and you're not just writing like you would a screenplay and then hoping like it becomes, you know, turned into a movie and actors kind of inhabit it and different collaborators. With comics, it's you, the artist, some letters, maybe an editor. And so you really have to do a lot of the creative work of shot listing, planning, storyboarding, of course, and like really conveying that stuff to an artist. Obviously, they get feedback. It's amazing. I love that collaboration, but you're not collaborating with nearly as many people as you do on a film. All that to say, there aren't enough people to catch your mistakes. So I always put a lot of pressure on myself with comics when I'm writing them. And I've been writing a lot of comics right now. And I hope you see them soon. All that to say, it's slower going because I'm just like the self-doubt. I don't have the confidence. I haven't put in the hours yet to like be like just hit a page running like I do on a script. But that's a process as well. So I know I'm babbling right now. I know you guys want to be like, what did they think of What If season two? Like, enough. I got to know if I should cancel my Disney Plus or not. No, you shouldn't cancel your Disney Plus, right? Superhero movie lull or not, don't cancel your Disney Plus, okay? Well, maybe. I don't know what you're doing in the economy, but celebrate geekdom. That's what we're going to do here on Geekscape. We're going to be right back with Garrett, and we're going to talk all things What If Season 2. And if you've seen it, great. If you haven't, we're going to spoil it. Maybe you don't care, but we will, and we'll see you there. All right, Geekscapists, I'm so glad you're checking out Geekscape. Maybe you're only listening to it on the podcast feed. Maybe you're listening to it on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, wherever you find your podcasts. I really do appreciate you hitting that subscribe button, sharing it with your friends, and just tuning in to some geek talk, maybe on your morning drive or while you're ignoring the work you should be doing right now. Maybe you're on a run or something. I do see some fitness geeks out there in my socials, and I love that. If you want to email me at any point, you can. Jonathan@geekscape.net. You can always find me or Geekscape on any of the social networks and connect with us there. I've been loving the stuff we've been doing over in the Geekscape Forever group on Facebook. I started a chat. You know how you can get DMs, messages over on Facebook back in the olden times when the older people who, like myself, who still use Facebook? The Geekscape Forever group, you can start a chat and it goes to your, it's like a giant message, right? With a lot of people involved. And we started one up for Geekscape Forever, and we've been really telling ourselves Happy New Year, some of our favorite releases from the last year, some of our favorite experiences. We've been recommending comics to each other. We've got some Geekscapists in there being like, hey, is this Thor comic good for my son? I'm getting him into comics and he's into Thor. So is this one good? And taking recommendations. And it's awesome seeing you guys so active in there. So go join the Geekscape Forever group on Facebook if you haven't yet, because there's a whole chat going on in there. And this 1 hour show becomes then like your whole 24/7 distraction. All right. I love seeing you guys in there. So please keep it up and just keep engaging with each other. Geekscape is more yours than it is mine. I'm just the dude with the blibble blabble who talks and hopefully like spins y'all like a top, and then you'll go out and enjoy geekdom and talk about it with each other. And that's kind of my role here. Okay. That's it. The rest of it is yours. Take it and run with it. Speaking of people who are taking it and running with it, my own Garrett Briones. I hope he doesn't run too far, though. I miss having him under Geekscape's podcast umbrella, but he's got his own thing going on, and he's going to tell us about it real quick before we get in. Not too quick. You can take your time, Garrett. But then we're going to talk some What If Season 2. Hey, buddy, how are you?
Hello, I'm glad to be here. Thank you for, we've had this debate many times on many Geekscape shows. Am I Dick Grayson? Is Matt Kelly Dick Grayson? Am I Jason Todd? Am I Tim Drake? We've gone over this many times. I think eventually we will definitively have to nail down what Robin am I. We'll have to figure this out.
I think I have an idea. Mm-hmm. We're going to get you and Matt Kelly together, maybe at Comic-Con or something in San Diego. We're going to ask you both to do a backflip.
Okay.
Do something that's Robin-esque. And we're going to just see who can pull it off, right? And then we're going to gauge it on whether... Because I think Dick Grayson is unanimously everybody's favorite. Like, he's the most popular Robin. I know he's the longest Robin.
He is the most well-known Robin, but Tim Drake was the first Robin to ever have his own solo series. You could argue Dick Grayson is more well-known as Robin, but maybe has more of a following as Nightwing. It's a, there's hills and valleys. There's so many different ways to look at it.
But in the Red Hood, the Jason Todd, that stuff's just for the Edgelords, or where does that live?
That's like if we want like really sexy fan fiction or like drawings of me like online. Then I mean, if that's my
there's an audience here, for it.
If I mm-hmm. if that's where we have to go, one of my favorite just today, one of my favorite wrestlers, he came out in gear that looked like Red Hood. That would be Jon Moxley. So everybody's into Red Hood. So I mean, maybe that's the path I go down.
That's kind of cool. It's been fun. And I've been talking to Megaran, one of our mm-hmm. podcasters, who does a lot of wrestling content. And he has the Matt Mania show on the network with his friends, Teak Hall. And we've just been talking geekdom and music and chiptunes and stuff like that. But the crossovers of wrestling in geekdom is so cool to watch. It's like... I couldn't imagine this in the 80s when you had like Junkyard Dog and those guys. Like they weren't going to start busting out the DC and Marvel references. They're not going to
come out dressed up like Thanos back then. That's something I love is even a few weeks ago, Ring of Honor Women's World Champion Athena, she came out in this Bane outfit. She had the mask. She had the Venom like tubes. It was
that's
awesome.
So crazy.
Like so many people, Finn Balor in the WWE. One time he came out painted up like Venom. Like it's so much cool stuff. Like, so it's that cross from pollination between the two. It makes sense. They're these larger than life characters in themselves. Yeah. So it makes sense that they would be into those sort of things as well.
It was CM Punk kind of one of the characters who like blew that open. And who was the guy who actually like the Green Tornado, whatever that guy is that they like actually came out. I met him at Universal City Walk. Years ago, the guy who had the mask, he had like a green mask.
Hurricane Helms.
Hurricane Helms, like those two guys to me are the ones who are like giving fans permission to be geeks in wrestling. And I think we see it more in like the anime side. I'm a big obviously basketball fan if you're a longtime listener, but seeing the custom sneakers, which is like a big culture there, obviously in basketball. But when I started seeing NBA players having like One Piece or different anime and manga characters painted on their sneakers and during games, I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. It's super cool to see this stuff that, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, you had to be a closet geek in a lot of ways.
Keep it hidden.
Yeah. But now it's like permission. It's super cool. And I love seeing all of this stuff. So knowing that it's fun, and knowing that there are but still naysayers out there saying that comic book movies are doomed and this and that. And I'll tell you what, like I ran through it with Matt Kelly on the Christmas special and it was a great year for geekdom. Marvel had a great movie in Guardians of the Galaxy 3. Yeah, that was a success. I loved Blue Beetle, even if the box office didn't reflect it. Yeah. They made some great product. And so people, I think it's premature writing off the superhero movie. I think there's plenty of opportunities coming out for the box office to reflect that we still love these things. Yeah. On Disney Plus, on the other hand, some of the models are shifting. You're trying different things, right? If you're Disney Plus. And I think that's true for all streamers, regardless of superheroes. But with What If Season 2, they were released almost like an advent calendar. I thought it was great that they did it over Christmas. But every day you'd have a new episode, and we're getting 5 episodes of Echo all at once. They're trying that in a week or so, this Tuesday. This Tuesday we get all 5 episodes of Echo. But prior to that, the Disney Plus model was pretty much you get one a week like they with Loki. First off, what did you think of the release schedule for What If Season 2, and do you think there's something there?
I like the experiment because for me with streaming, For me, it's been interesting to watch how streamers have rolled out the last few years, you know, and to see like how similar are they to network TV, how are we differentiating them? And I thought that this was just an interesting way to use that sort of platform, that we can release them this way, that, and then once, you know, if you're someone who, say you were traveling for the holidays or something like that, you could catch up when you know, over those few days. I thought it was an interesting way to do it. You know, myself, I was traveling and I was at home, and so I had some free time, so I was able to watch like a couple here, and then a few more days passed and I was able to watch a few more. And I've never been a huge fan of the binge model, but I found that even just getting to do like 2-3 episodes at a time did help build that almost week to week like excitement that you would get if they had rolled out like that. But I knew I wouldn't have to wait like to see how this story concluded. I wouldn't have to wait as long.
I think, is there something unique to the animated What If season 2? We talked before we started recording that maybe some of the fanfare was tempered a bit. Mm-hmm. Is it because it was animated? Because, you know, James Gunn is launching his DC universe with an animated project before he does the Superman film. And we're getting like a pretty awesome monster. What was that? I forget
the property. Commandos.
Creature Commandos. And I'm stoked for it because I'm a big James Gunn fan, but I'm stoked for it because if it has any of the animation quality that we got with What If, and guys, it's amazing. I love the way these shows look.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you how I saw them. I actually was so busy just traveling, going to Heidi's family in South Carolina for the break, that I think the first two or three episodes were already out by the time I was like, oh my God, we got What If, and I can watch these, because I like to wake up very early to write, 5:30, and I put some pages in, the morning pages. And sometimes I get burned out. Right. You got, let's face it. If you're really concentrating, you got about an hour and a half of writing in you, but you always have to kind of feed the visual index. Right. Yeah. And so I found that these What Ifs, being able to look forward to one every morning, I would watch these things at like 5:30. Sometimes I have insomnia. I watch them at like 4 or 3. And usually, I mean, I thought it was awesome. And you and I started texting each other. I'm like, dude, What If is great. And it's not just great for the animation. It's not just great because they got amazing celebrities like Kate Blanchett to come back and reprise these characters.
Yeah.
Right. Benedict Cumberbatch is in so many of these episodes. Yeah. Hayley Atwell is in so many of these episodes. Even the sound alikes, like the person who does Robert Downey Jr.'s voice. Incredible. And the writing is really good. The stories are interesting. They play with the concepts of these characters that we understand in new light. And the whole gist of it is Geekscapist. What if something went a different way in the Marvel universe that we know? And suddenly these characters were in different circumstances. Like, what if Tony Stark landed on Sakaar from Thor Ragnarok and was part of that whole arena system? And, you know, what would be happening there? And, oh my God. I just thought it was so much fun from the get go.
Yeah.
When we have Nebula, right, and she's part of like the police force,
a little Blade Runner homage.
It was cool. It was beautiful, but it was also fun because you get to focus on Nebula, and it's not like Nebula's are going to get a standalone movie,
exactly,
right?
And something even like in that episode example, like something I think is the benefit of having a show like this is, you know, you pointed out with Nebula, or a character I've really enjoyed that is voiced by an actor I really enjoy who hasn't really gotten to be a character at all is Howard the Duck. And I like that episode. They have Seth Green, you know, he gets a lot more to do than he has in his little tiny appearances. And so it lets a lot of these side characters that we know maybe aren't going to get their time in the sun. You know, we get a whole episode devoted to Happy Hogan. Yes, we've seen him in multiple movies, but he actually gets to be the protagonist of a story. And I think that that's something that this show affords you, is that you could focus on really any character that you want.
And variations of those characters to shade those characters.
Yes.
Right. I mean, again, I'm one of these people who, when people start ringing the death, like saying the death knell of superhero movies, I'm like, okay, like, you're going to make a buffoon of yourself when these things rebound because there will always be kids, right? Yeah. And it's not like we're talking about a genre that is dependent on an older demographic. like romantic comedies, right? Those are for people who go on dates, or something like a Western, which sometimes has grittier narratives based on revenge or things like that. And are a little bit prone to more having more violence. This is stuff like cartoons, like anime, that will constantly be fed by the existence of a young generation that is hungry for this stuff. And those younger generations are getting bigger, right? So I'm not exactly going to start saying superhero movies are over. What I will say is that, and we know this from the last couple of phases, there's an ability to write these things very well. And I rewatched the first Thor movie, and I think that first Thor movie script is so awesome. And it has some actually really beautiful place. It's like, I was like, oh my God, that's a really beautiful thing they just did there. And you see it occasionally now, but I think that the success was so high that the pressure to make these things a much higher frequency has cost something that I think needs to be regained, which is the care and the intention put into the scripts in What If, because of its nature as an animated project that inherently take more time. The stories are awesome. Every one of these great episodes are awesome.
Like, you know, to your point, exactly. There is that idea that, you know, after Endgame, maybe they did spread themselves a little bit. You know, there was a lot of stuff that was coming out. You know, four shows came out in 2021, as well as three movies, like things like that. But to your point, because of animation taking a little bit longer, I was reading some behind the scenes stuff today. The episodes that we were seeing that for this season were being written in January 2020 to October 2020. Like that's how long ago these were, you know, being developed, and season two has been worked on. Is it was that far away. So they had times to rewrite, reiterate. Obviously things can change in the booth as well. Like I think both seasons of What If really do show that there's something to be said about taking your time, going through iteration, trying different things. And I think that it shows in the work.
You also get a chance to make good on some characters, right? Mm-hmm. Like, if you were not a fan of Joss Whedon's Ultron, I thought Joss Whedon's Ultron was a little too light, right? Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little too fun, sing-songy. When Ultron, to me, is AI that has gotten complete, like, just has no purpose for humanity, is just ready to wipe us out, and the Avengers are the thing standing in its way, and Hank Pym, and it needs to revenge. And so I walked out of Avengers 2, and I was like, he looked like Ultron. I like Ultron. Yeah. Like, that was
Spader's voice. Whedon sounded great.
That was Spader's voice. That was Joss Whedon's version of Ultron, and it fit in the MCU as we knew it.
Yeah.
Then we get the What If season one Ultron.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's Ultron.
Yeah.
Ultron. That Ultron was scary. Mm-hmm. That Ultron was really, really scary. Yeah. Like, he takes Thanos out in 2 seconds, and then he starts going after the multiverse using the Infinity Stones, and he was ruthless. Yeah. And on the other side of it, you know, and people are like, hey, should I? I think these episodes you can watch one off if you want. Mm-hmm. But what I also love about the season one, and they did it again in season two, is you get rewarded by watching multiple episodes, and you kind of get rewarded for watching them in order and not skipping episodes, because a character like Captain Britain, if Peggy Carter actually got the super soldier serum, that character was a big fixture in one or two episodes in season one, definitely in the finale. And then here we actually get a little bit of a return to her universe, which is cool to see a universe from season one return to. And I love that the Watcher was like, I usually don't repeat these. I usually don't revisit a universe because the multiverse is so expansive. I usually don't go back. And he revisited this one.
Yeah.
And it was another Captain, you know, Britain, you know, British super soldier, Haley Atwell.
Captain Carter.
Captain Carter.
She's not a Braddock.
Man, could you imagine they start putting that stuff in charge of the multiverse? Yeah, we got X-Men coming. Let's get the Brax. But yeah, you have Captain Carter in one or two episodes and the finale of this season. And it's starting to really, it's cool tapestry, man. It's fun. And you can make good on characters in new depictions. I love what they did with Doctor Strange in the episode where Rachel dies instead of is it in the accident, and then he's obsessed with bringing her back. In season one, he's bringing her back, and every time he has to bring her back, he fails, and he makes a worse deal with a worse demon, and he starts to lose his humanity, and he becomes a monster. And then in this season, we might start seeing that character again. Like, I like the revisitations. I also like the fresh characters.
Yes.
And we got the coolest, freshest character in this season, to the point where when the episode started, and I just saw the what if, and it said, what if Kahuri, like, blank,
reshaped,
and
I was
like,
the world, or
reshaped the world. And I was like, who is this character? And I started watching, and I was like, okay, there's a Mohawk Indian Native American character during, like, you know, the Spanish, you know, conquistadors coming in. And okay, I went straight to, like, Marvel Wiki, and I was like, is this a character I've never heard of? Like what comic book did this character come from? Geekscapists. This character was created just for What If Season 2, is the main figure in an episode that is done almost entirely in both Spanish and the Mohawk language, and it is awesome.
Yeah.
Get ready for the subtitles, but too bad, because this episode was awesome. It introduced a brand new Marvel character, and they did it here in What If. And this is a character I think has potential to be seen in the comics and maybe in live action.
Yeah. I think this is, this is, again, you know, speaking to what what this show, the show has so many different things it can do. It can spotlight characters. It can show you action that you may not, you know, maybe a live action budget can't always measure up to. And it also, as an anthology, it can truly be whatever it wants to be for an episode. Every episode is like the first episode of its own series. And so to take advantage of that and, you know, represent a culture that maybe we don't always get to see in this kind of, you know, four quadrant storytelling, I thought that was such a cool idea. You know, you're going to have a bunch of eyes on this because it's the new Marvel show that's out. And I think that's such a cool, you know, you're going to have those eyes. So why not show people a whole new world that they maybe aren't familiar with, or they have a base level knowledge with. So let's go a little bit deeper.
Did you see the pushback on that episode specifically because of the depiction of Spanish?
I did not.
Colonialists. The pushback, because again, like, I like hearing Spanish. I grew up in a household that spoke Spanish. I like speaking Spanish when I get the opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I feel a little bit of superiority when I don't have to read the subtitles. And in this episode, for the Spanish characters, I didn't have to read the subtitles. That being said, they were the conquistadors. They were in there, and they did not do very nice things. Like, Christopher Columbus, even though he was sent by Spain, is a big piece of shit. And he was a horrible person.
He was a horrible, he was an idiot.
The things that people did under his command were awful. And so you see people pillaging for sure in this episode against the Mohawk people. And then online, people were like, hey, not all Spaniards. You know, they started like, we don't like the way we're depicting Spaniards or our ancestors in this. It's like, well, listen, like, nobody's really clean when it comes to colonialism. And like, these Spaniards, they did some pretty horrible thing to the native people. Mm-hmm. And it's a great setting for a superhero origin story. And you got one here. It's super, super cool. Are people sleeping on What If Season 2? Or what do you think?
I think so. You know, you and I talked about this a little bit beforehand. I don't know what it is, because people...
Superhero fatigue, or the fact that it's delivered during the holidays, or the third fact that it's an animated property?
I think it's the latter two. I think it's the way it released. I think some people before it even released were saying that it... And I think people are already saying this, be it with how Echo is releasing. People think that these shows are being dumped, or that they're just being thrown, you know, that they're being released with no fanfare. And then I think it's animation, which is, it's odd to me, because we have something like Across the Spider-Verse that comes out, and people are, they're pushing, they're like, come on, animation is such a great medium for adapting comic book stories. Look at something like Invincible on Amazon Prime. That show has a very big following. But then again, I didn't see as many people talking about the second season. I don't know if that's just, you know, as things, you know, more things go on. But
there is a glut. Yeah. And like, yes. And I know that Invincible season two is out.
Yeah.
I love Invincible season one. Yeah. I obviously love the comic. I have not had a chance just like to sit down and start watching season two. And I will. Yeah. Did you hear somebody fly by?
Someone from Prime is coming to get
say
you.
Say what? Yeah. Robert Kirkman's guy is going to come and be like, you need to watch it. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff coming out. Guys, I didn't watch the third season of The Witcher. Like it almost.
I didn't even watch the second season because so much stuff was coming out.
Love The Witcher, but so much stuff comes out. There is something to be said for that. Okay, maybe there's some, but there's so much stuff coming out that I'm like, oh my god, when am I going to get the chance to see Invincible season two? I'm going to, but like,
there's a lot.
Yeah, sorry, continue. I interrupted you.
But yeah, like, I just think that people want that medium to be used more to adapt these stories, and then when they come out, I feel like maybe there isn't always as much support given to them because, and I really think that this is a solid show that really does let, you know, its writers, it lets them go wherever they want to go. It lets these performers get to stretch some different, you know, muscles that maybe they don't get to in the films. And it just kind of feels like because it's animated, it just doesn't get the same, because it's not one of the movies, it just doesn't get that same amount of spotlight on it.
Yeah, but it Geekscape, I'm telling you right now, it's my favorite Disney Plus Marvel show. The ideas explored, the different versions of the characters that you love told in some brave ways, like, I love it. And it's so much fun. And I'm like, oh, that's so cool that they paired those characters together. We would have never seen those characters together in the MCU because it's not the way that the grand narrative was pointed. But now we get to see you know, the Grandmaster and Tony Stark go head to head, and they got Jeff Goldblum to come back and do the voice. And it's
Ben-Hur,
awesome,
you know,
it's awesome. Ben-Hur with some freaking Mad Max style vehicles destroying each other, and of course, we get Taika Waititi coming back doing the voice of I was about to say Meek, but Meek's a little bug guy,
yeah,
it's Korg. And we got Tessa Thompson doing Valkyrie back on that one. I love the Sakaar episode, and so I'm gonna ask you, say what you're gonna say,
but then
I'm
gonna
ask you what your favorites were.
That one was all it's funny that one, and they kind of have that little brief recap before it starts to point to Gamora, because Gamora was in season one, that episode was actually supposed to be in season one, and then there's an episode there was like a little teaser that was released for season three that was supposed to be a season two episode. So there's two episodes that have been punted to the previous season, but that one was supposed to be a season one episode. Just a little thing.
What's the hint for season three?
There was a clip released of it's specifically I see them referring to it as the Red Guardian episode. And the clip was, I think it's Bucky Barnes and Bruce Banner Bruce is speaking like with a Russian like accent. Oh, cool. They get pulled over and you think it's going to be like a cop, and it's the Red Guardian that pulls them over. So something that they're
like,
they're
David Harbour's playing them or something.
Yeah.
That is so cool.
In that animated, in the finale, there's an animated version of this typical Marvel Studios fanfare. And Red Guardian is one of the people that pops up, and he's not in any of the episodes this season, but they kind of show him to tease that next season.
Well, the episode I was looking for him in was where is it? I got the list of episodes here. What if Captain Carter fought the Hydra Stomper? And the Hydra Stomper is actually Steve Rogers.
Yes.
But he's stuck in this giant Hulkbuster style Iron Man armor. And now Captain Carter has to fight, like Peggy Carter has to fight her love Steve, who's been through the Red Room from Black Widow. And I thought that was such a cool episode, because it's like, what if we had Captain America, but Captain America, Steve Rogers, who's like pure, he's not Captain America in this universe.
Yeah.
He's still weak, and Peggy got the serum, but he's still weak, and he gets put in this Hulkbuster Iron Man suit so he can run around. What if he had been kidnapped and put in the Red Room, and now he's a Russian agent? And it's cool. And what I loved about it was, not only did they have, obviously, you got Peggy Carter and Hayley Atwell is playing her, and Samuel Jackson's back. But you have Lake Bell as Natasha Romanoff. She did that in season one. So you have the Black Widow. You have Frank Grillo coming back.
Yeah.
That was cool to see Frank Grillo back, you know, playing Brock Rumlow, right?
And he's going to be, speaking of Creature Commandos, he's going to be Rick Flag Sr. in Creature Commandos.
That's awesome. That's perfect casting.
Yes.
But you got Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes. And this is the one that I thought was, like, amazing. And I when I checked the credits, I was like, oh, my God, that's so cool. Elizabeth Olsen's back as Wanda. But you have Rachel Weisz back as Black Widow's mom. And that's why I was watching the episode. I was like, where's Red Guardian? Where's Red Guardian? Because you loved David Harbour's depiction of him because he's so funny and like it's so much fun. And it's a great version of Red Guardian. And again, like I like how they're taking comic characters who you and I grew up with. There's an interpretation when they go to the live action. And now there's a new interpretation when they get shifted into the What If universe. Yeah. The Iron Man versus the Grandmaster stuff, episode 4. So cool. And the setup Geekscapist is when Iron Man goes up into like the wormhole type thing to stop the Chitauri in Avengers 1 and put the bomb in the Chitauri ship. What if he doesn't make it back through the wormhole to Earth? What if he's lost in space up there and he lands on Sakaar and the Grandmaster finds him and puts him in the arena? But the arena is, again, like this Mad Max style Ben-Hur, like cool, like contest. And so he meets Valkyrie. Yeah. He meets the different characters that were already on Sakaar from Thor Ragnarok, and he becomes their champion. And I thought that was really cool. Yeah. And you got Josh Brolin back as Thanos. You got Taika Waititi as Korg, like Tessa Thompson, Jeff Goldblum. It was awesome. I thought that Jeff Goldblum was going to be a sound-alike, and it wasn't. And I was so happy. It's so cool. They got these huge stars. Yeah. Kate Blanchett came back as Hela.
Yeah, that was – I really – and see, that one – that was another behind-the-scenes thing that I was reading was – because when you think about how long these shows have been in development, phase four didn't start till 2021 because it got punted because of the pandemic. They were talking about how like that was one that they were able to, you know, they were able to start bringing in like the Shang-Chi mythology because they happened to, they had the script at the time, so they could actually bring it in, so they could use like Wen Wu. And I thought that one was such an awesome blending of the, you know, Asgard and the, you know, and the mythology that we learned about in Shang-Chi. And I thought that one was so cool to get Hela, you know, get her from being like this goddess of death to almost being like this goddess of light. I thought that was such a fun, like, I really liked seeing that. And I love that they got Kate Blanchett back for that. I thought that was such a fun way to take that character in this alternate universe.
In Geekscape, that one was, what if Hela discovered the 10 rings, like the 10 rings from Shang-Chi. I loved it. And you get to see something that isn't quite being explored yet in the Marvel universe. So remember the tag on Shang-Chi was, you got Wong like with the 10 rings, and he was like, oh, we got to investigate the 10 rings and this and that. And we just haven't picked that. We haven't picked that plot up yet.
Yeah.
Again, like there's a lot of stuff in production. There's a lot of stuff in planning. There's a lot of stuff shifting. Like, you know, we just had Thunderbolts shifted a bit. Thunderbolts had a casting change this past week with Steven Yeun. Like this stuff is always in flux, but with animation, they're really like, especially What If, they're able to change these things. It was cool to see the Shang-Chi universe.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Geekscapist, as bemoaned as that film was by fans and critics, I wanted the Eternals. You guys are calling me insane, but I wanted to see the Eternals. And the reason I did was, again, like, the cool thing about What If is, if you didn't like Ultron and the Whedon version in Avengers 2, you got the perfect Ultron in What If season 1. Whatever version, just for some reason, there's many reasons when you have film production, right? And the different schedules and in a big, you know, corporation like Disney and their edicts and this and that. And you're trying to make art. You're still trying to tell stories. You're trying to keep them consistent. You're trying to make it all uniform. It's, you know, the leaks can spring from many places when you're doing this big of a collaboration. And you end up with what you end up, and there are parts of Eternals that I actually thought were beautiful. I want them to have another day in the sun. I want them to have another at bat. And I think that the What If universe, maybe we'll get it in season 3. It's like a perfect place to take some of the Eternals characters and put them back out there and brush them off and be like, hey, what if you see them in this light? You're going to actually think they're pretty cool.
I know you didn't plan for that, but that was kind of beautiful what you said about in the sun, considering what happens to one of those characters in that movie involving the sun. Flying a little too close.
I didn't think of it.
Looking at the wider Marvel Studios animation division, we are seeing, you know, things that were announced back in like 2021. I remember I was sitting in the Lowe's. I was working at a Lowe's and I was sitting in the waiting room, probably taking too long of a break because I didn't want to go back to the sales floor. but they announced like the Marvel Zombies show that's coming out. That's a spinoff from What If is going to feature Icarus. It's from the Eternals. It's going to feature Shang-Chi.
I didn't know that.
Like, we're seeing some of these things, these other later projects that are going to be able to, you know, start integrating those, you know, characters from those films and stuff like that in them and explore them in new ways. I definitely want to see the Eternals be explored. I'd love crazy zany Jack Kirby stuff. So, you know, I love the Eternals, the New Gods, things like that. So I want to see as many versions of the Eternals as I can. I want to see.
And I want to see fans who aren't familiar with the Jack Kirby stuff. Yeah. I remember going on a hike with my friend Adam. Went on a run in Griffith and we're coming down the mountain. And he was like, well, what about Eternals? You know, the people who, like, they saw the movie and they didn't have the context from the comics that were awesome. Yeah. He's like, what about these Eternals? And I tell him what the Eternals idea is. I'm like, no, this is what the Eternals is. And then it's like, whoa. And I was like, yeah, that has yet to make it to screen. That version that, like, we fell in love with as kids, like that version, that kick-ass version of the Eternals, it did not make it to the screen for a lot of people. And here's a chance to start reformulating it in people's minds and give it another shot. I think Eternals is cool. The movie, hey, I went and saw it. It was an Eternals movie. I wanted to have another bat. I want to follow it up. I want to see what's going on with Star Fox. I want to see all that stuff.
Not to get on a tangent, but did you actually see that news that has broken out in the last couple of days? John Ridley, writer, you know, he's a comic writer, written on TV shows, that was the project he was developing for ABC a few years ago. He's developing an Eternals project. I'm assuming it was around the same time when a lot of ABC projects had the Inhumans, which I think was kind of Marvel's two-pronged
stuff.
Their two-pronged attempt to try and replace the X-Men. I think Eternals, had it not taken so long to develop, was going to be the other attempt. And we saw, as much as I love the Inhumans, we saw how that, not the show, I'm talking about the comics, no offense to the show.
If we're getting Secret War, It all comes. It's all possible again. And I like the multiverse stuff. It's, you know, I think some people might be worn out with how many things you got to keep track of on the multiverse stuff. But just remember, like, it all counts. And we talked about that last week with Aquaman in the Lost Kingdom. It's like,
I think my invite got lost at sea for that one.
How dare you, sir?
You know, I love Aquaman. I just guess my invite got lost at sea somewhere.
I threw it in the ocean.
Yeah, I was like, it didn't reach me.
If you can, join Christian Blatt and I. But people who think, like, oh, this is the end of the phase of the Snyderverse, this is the end of it. No, none of it's the end, guys. Nope. You got the Keaton Batman back. You're
going to
see
point.
All that stuff. And the same thing goes with Marvel. And you're it's already on the slate. It's called Secret War. And it's already on the slate. And there's going to be an amalgam battle worlds going on.
Affleck,
you're going to see.
We'll be back as Daredevil. Wesley Snipes will be back as Blade. Who's the actor that played Daredevil in the Incredible Hulk series? Is he still with us?
Oh, yeah, he'd be awesome.
The original black suit Daredevil.
That was fun. I mean, my producer Noam, who's been on Geekscape, you guys heard him a few episodes ago on the screenwriting panel at LA Comic Con. He, for some reason, connected with the old TV Peter Parker, the actor who played the old TV Peter Parker. And he's like, Jonathan, I got to introduce you. So Geekscape is, you know what? I just remembered that as we were talking about those TV, Marvel iterations.
Return of the Incredible Hulk, all those.
I've got to make good on that. Geekscape is, I got to make good on that.
Am I correct?
I think it's Nick Cammon. Yeah. So Geekscape is, if you could remember, email me, jonathan@geekscape.net, and be like, hey, you promised us Nick Cammon, the original Peter
Parker. Remind this man. Don't let him get away, Geekscape.
Guys, you don't understand. There's so much. I get people asking about coming on Geekscape. I follow interests. I sat down to write, and I was like, I'm gonna search for some music to write to, and I was looking for the Deathstalker 2 soundtrack, and I found a cover of the Deathstalker 2 sound, like, music by this Canadian Toronto band called, like, Thunderglove and they just
I saw you talk about this.
I was like, what the hell is this? Who is covering the Deathstalker 2 song? Uh-huh. Like, so that's so random, right? And then who's now covering the Golden Axe theme from the arcade game? And I found this band Thunderglove, and I was like, holy shit, they do barbarian fantasy music. Like, they rock out, right? And so immediately I write about them in my stories. I was like, oh yeah, the barbarian fantasy music. And they start following me on Instagram. So of course I follow them back. And then we start DMing, and I'm like, I gotta have you guys on Geekscape. So like, a lot of this Geekscape is whenever I have somebody who would be awesome, like a Nick Hammond, and I remember it, I get like ADD, and it's like some other like shiny thing points me in a different direction. And so you gotta email me and be like, Jonathan, we want to hear the Nick Hammond interview. We gotta try and get him on the show. We gotta try and do this person. We gotta try and like, I want to do, like I said in the intro, I'd do these once a day if I could, but I chase my interests a lot. So you're getting barbarian fantasy music from Toronto. And I also chase like who's available. Like I put in for a couple celebrities recently, and we'll see who we got. I'm always trying to get you guys some big names. And then again, like, this stuff is coming out so frequently that with something like Aquaman 2 and What If Season 2, you're getting them both in the same week, because I just needed to get it out of the system so I can have somebody like Mickey Rapkin next week come on and talk about being shortlisted for an Oscar nomination, which is just awesome. And I'm so happy for him. Your favorite episode of the season?
You know,
as we wrap up,
I think for me, it's one I haven't seen as many people talking about, was What If Peter Quill Returned to Earth? Or I can't remember exactly the title.
It was What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Heroes. And this is Peter Quill, not as the grown-up Peter Quill. This is the child Peter Quill. As a kid, he's been raised by Ego, which is cool. Which is cool that they got, you know, Kurt Russell back to do Ego from Guardians 2. That was awesome. But Peter Quill has the power of Ego. He's got the power of like a celestial seed in him and all this stuff. And Ego sends him to Earth in like the late 80s to finish that job. And so the kid's like a 9-year-old, 8-year-old. And he goes back to finish the job of using Earth to grow the celestial seed, which will destroy the Earth. You guys watched Eternals. And I thought that episode was awesome because late 80s Avengers, Hank Pym had to get together with, you know, older Peggy Carter, but they went and found, King T'Chaka, Soldier, like all this stuff. They had to get together and save the world. I'll tell you what, that's where I thought I was going to see Red Guardian. I thought I was going to see Red Guardian. I thought I was going to see Red Guardian in that episode.
Yeah, that's a good
because if you're going to put together an international team to stop the celestial seed threatening the Earth, I thought we were going to get 1980s Red Guardian, who was still going to be buff and trim and kicking some ass. Sense. That was the one thing in that episode that I was like, this episode rips. I thought that episode was effing awesome.
I loved it, getting more time with Michael Douglas as Hank Pym. You know, it was fun to see him as more of a lead. Obviously, he's one of the main stars of the Ant-Man movies, but he is supporting. So it's cool to see that. And what I really liked was, and again, it goes back to, I was reading some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, that for them, that episode was all about Hope Van Dyne. And I thought that was such a cool way to tie Hope and Peter together as these two people that had lost their mothers, obviously in different ways, but how that was ultimately what saved the Earth was this maternal love and not being, you know, being kind of more open to the idea that, you know, maybe he's just kind of lost. He's just kind of sad. Yeah. He needs the proper guidance. And then I also love that, you know, we have, since it's in the 80s, they're having to be creative with who would be on the team. And I love that Thor, since he's like 1500 years old, as he says in Infinity War, he just shows up and, or 5,000, I can't remember how old he says. He's just exactly the same as we would see him in 2011, 2012 when he shows up, and because he ages slowly. And I just thought that was so, one of my favorite.
And we got people. Chris Hemsworth, like Geekscape. That's not a sound exactly. Like Chris Hemsworth is doing all the Thor in this series.
Hemsworth is one of my favorite people to voice his characters, because I'm assuming it taps into that same thing that he likes to do, which is kind of reinvent Thor for it to be more interesting. Like, mm-hmm. all the Thors that he plays in the series are all different. Party Thor, 80s Thor, even the 1602 Thor. Like, he always just sounds like he's having so much fun playing all these various iterations of Thor. I think he always brings it.
I was going to say that my favorite is possibly the 1602 stuff, because I really liked the Neil Gaiman 1602 iterations, and that was a multiverse like window within the actual Marvel universe. I also love the backstory of 1602, how that was a deal with Neil Gaiman to help help Neil Gaiman finance the lawsuit with Todd McFarlane regarding the rights to like the Angela comic character that Neil Gaiman created for Spawn that is now in the Marvel universe as part of the settlement. Like, I love that.
Pretty sure
Neil Gaiman won that one, but I love that Thor's Marvel
sister
came in.
Angela.
Marvel came in and was like, hey, I know you have this lawsuit for the Angela's like character, and I know you have this lawsuit about what's the long standing character, the Neil Gaiman character, the Starman. I'm messing this up. Marvel Man. I know that you have this lawsuit, and I love how like, you know, Marvel Joe Quesada came in and was like, hey, write a book for us. We'll pay you. We can pay for that lawsuit, because Marvel knows that like they can get an Angela character and they can probably get Marvel Man out of it. Yeah. And I love all that behind the scenes stuff, and it's super cool. And it was cool seeing 1602 on the page. Here we got 1602, some window of it. The English version of 1602. It doesn't take place in the colonies, but we got the English version of 1602 happening in What If Season 2. And like, you're just not going to get that on the big screen. And we got some 1602, and it was cool, and it was super fun. I loved that. I ultimately think that the Sakaar episode's amazing. The Hela discovering Ten Rings, that was so cool, and how her character matured. But I'm going to kick it back to my favorite is going to be What If Kahori reshaped the world, because it gave us a brand new character, and I really hope there's nothing that's going to be as stratospherically popular and successful as what Paul Dini and those folks did, Bruce Timm did with Harley Quinn. But I love that they introduce a character in an animated series that I really, really have high hopes for branching into comics and movies in the same way that Harley Quinn did. Yeah. Cause this character is cool. And I think the backstory is cool, and the multiverse allows it. I think those are all the rocks I wanted to turn over on this episode with you, Garrett. Like, it's been fun talking to you, man. Like, I love having you back. I'm sorry the bottle with the letter inviting you back into this discussion got lost. I want to see you more. I know that you have your own thing, and why don't you talk about your own thing right now, because I love that you're still sharing your thoughts, and I know it gets hard as a filmmaker and a filmmaker starting out, but why don't you share your thoughts on like with this new thing that you started and where people can hear more of you?
Okay, so I have a podcast that I put out through my quote-unquote production entity, Not Just A Guy Productions, but the podcast is called Not Just A Guy, which is born out of as I talked about up top, I'm a wrestling fan, a fan of monikers, and I gave myself this self-proclaimed moniker of being The Guy, all caps T-H-E, capital G-U-Y. Basically, just to this idea of putting your best foot forward, being your best self, putting out what you want to be, that I don't want to be just remembered as a guy. I want to be remembered as the guy for whatever I do. And that evolved.
You want to be him, as the kids say. You want to be him.
Exactly. Whoa, look who.
Yeah, I know.
It's Fried Man.
I know how the kids talk.
And so it evolved into making the show Not Just A Guy, which is basically, it's the show about, by, and for struggling storytellers. It is, as myself, someone who's trying to navigate this industry that changes every single day, putting my story out there so people can learn from it, people can relate to it, people can decide not to do whatever I do, bring on other things. I've had a lot of my friends from film school talking about life post film school, how we're trying to navigate that. And this year I'm trying to focus it a little bit more, have a little more topics so that it's a little easier to find an audience. And so this month I've been talking about mental health as a storyteller. So this last Tuesday I talked about burnout and how burnout kind of really kept me from being my best self last year. All kinds, mental burnout, physical burnout, financial burnout, like productive burnout. And then on the 16th, I have another episode in that same topic, which is going to be about comparing careers, comparing it to your idols, comparing it to your peers, and trying to navigate how you can build your career, but not put yourself down because you don't have necessarily the same career that your friends have. Because, you know, on social media, I see so many of my friends posting, they're doing great things. And
it's social media and you don't really know the truth, exactly. Right?
Yeah. You know, it's the same thing. You don't know how much of it is, you don't see the struggles behind that. And that's kind of what the show is about. It's we're putting the struggles out there so that we can be honest and open with ourselves. Cause the only way you're going to be your best self is if you are open and honest. And so I'm open and honest with everything on the show. And I think it is helping, you know, my girlfriend, Emily, she edits the show. So she's always the first listener. And she, according to her, I think this is a very positive thing for me. Cause I think I am finding my voice as a storyteller, finding my voice as a person first and foremost. And that will ultimately lead into when I talk on the show about my process and working on projects. I'm working on an audio drama and I detail that on the show. And I really, once I release that, hopefully this year, I want to really talk about why that's valuable as a storyteller to try a different medium. Film is always going to be my first love, but even you spoke about writing in comics. There are other storytelling mediums that we can try. And I think it is valuable that if you're stuck in a rut in one, maybe try out another.
Yeah, these are the comic properties specifically, and Geekscape is to learn about them fairly soon. These are things that I just got sick of looking at on my hard drive and being like, I love these stories. I love what I was writing about. I loved what I was writing them for. And I'd love to share them to an audience. It may not, yeah. I mean, it's comics. It's not going to be a big audience, but.
Exactly. But my audio drama.
But hopefully they're here, right?
Yeah. On my audio drama, my friend, I had a friend who. They saw that I was in a creative rut in 2022. I had a bunch of short films I wanted to make and they said, well, have you ever thought about an audio drama? And so like the first season of my audio drama is basically a bunch of short films that I just won't have the money for. And it's been so creatively fulfilling to write those. And I'm just as excited for those as like a feature that I want to make in 5, 10, 15, however many years. And I wouldn't have that if I didn't decide, like you said, I kind of got tired of seeing these outlines and I thought, well, let's just move them to a different spot and try it there.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'm pretty happy for you. Happy. I'm incredibly happy. and dude, I get it. Like a part of me, when I see you podcasting, I'm like, why doesn't he podcast with Geekscape? But I don't think I think you have to carve your own thing. Does that make sense? Mm. I talked to Matt Kelly about this.
Yeah.
Because you and I are close. And I think that it has to be yours. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, if you ever want to partner with us, if you ever want to like gleam anything off of Geekscape by coming and promoting it
my LinkedIn, it says Geekscape contributor. And I hope you always are. It is. Yeah. I hope you always are. I always look at this place as home. Whenever Christian Blatt needs me for something, I'm on the book club. People know, if you listen to the book club, go listen to the book club. I'm pretty much the third man on there now, which is awesome.
He didn't invite you to Aquaman 2. So
he did not. It's his fault. Somehow, again, I'll probably be on here, you know, again, sometime this year talking about one of the other Marvel shows. I would love to be on here when my audio drama is ready. Geekscape is my home. I love, you know, many opportunities have been afforded being part of Geekscape. So I will always be here.
Well, dude,
I'm the ward, for heck's sake.
You're the ward. And I remember when we met on your first orientation in film school.
Yes. My mom brings up that story all the time. She loves it.
And dude, I'm proud of you. And I know it doesn't pay the rent and I know it's hard and I know it doesn't let you sleep. You know, I know it doesn't appease those fears you get at 1 a.m. where you're like, holy crap, like, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm proud of you.
I appreciate that.
I love that you're back to talk with me here. And let's, like you said, 2024, let's make it more of a thing. All right, man. Yeah, you can follow Garrett on social media at?
Not just a guy prod, P-R-O-D. That's where I post the show stuff, everything I'm working on.
In your personal stuff, do you still post on that stuff at all?
Yeah, on the Twitter, because I'm not calling it the other thing. You can follow me, Garrett S. Briones on there, and then Garrett Briones on Instagram.
Well, it's awesome. And hopefully Garrett comes and talks to us in the Geekscape Forever group there on Facebook. It's become active, and I really enjoyed seeing you guys and hearing all your different stuff. We got Geekscape is there from the first year of Geekscape, and we got people who have yet to discover the actual podcast at Geekscape. They just found us, and that's all good. It's all geek and it's all fun. So in the spirit of Geekscape, as we say, don't hate, create. Go out there and tell your stories, share them with each other, and thanks for joining us. We'll be back next week with a brand new episode. Geekscape is over and out. Peace.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.